Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Balo hosts Sarah Maine on her ongoing journey of conscious confidence and gain timeless wisdom to unleash unparalleled confidence. A conscious confidence. Learn to ignite the living spark of wisdom, a new narrative for fulfillment contained in Sanskrit and the ancient, powerful, engaging, and fun conscious conversations to discover your own magnificent true self. Learn to dispel the fear shadow as Sarah provides essential knowledge about embracing change and the power of transformation. Get ready. Conscious Confidence starts now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio. I'm Sarah Maine, creator of Conscious Confidence, a Timeless Wisdom. And welcome, everyone, today, because today's show, we're going to be talking about living by wisdom. Living by wisdom. We're going to be talking about timeless wisdom, modern living. Yeah, timeless wisdom, modern living. And I'm going to set up two scenarios for you if you're interested. So, scenario number one is the skeptic. Okay, I don't see how timeless wisdom relates to me. Show me how it does. Okay, how is all this stuff relevant to me? Yeah, timeless wisdom. You see that? Isn't that what people who do yoga talk about? You know, people with Tibetan singing bowls and, I don't know, chakras and all that stuff. How's it relevant to me? How do I know that I need this? Okay, tell me. You're telling me this is important. All right, how do I know that I need this? Show me. Prove to me that I need it. Is there any part of my life, so I'm saying to you then, is there any part of your life that you want to improve for the better for yourself and others? Is there any part that you feel could be improved for the better for yourself and others? Are you always happy? Are you always healthy? Are you always expressing your true potential, your full potential? They're just some of the questions that I'm saying in response to that. Prove to me that I need it. All right, are you always happy? Are you always focused? Are you always calm? Do you react more often than you respond, for example? So that's scenario number one. I don't see how timeless wisdom relates to me. Show me how it does, okay? Now, here's scenario number two. This is the busy person. How do I begin on timeless wisdom? How do I begin living by timeless wisdom? I've got a normal life. I hear about all this timeless wisdom and Sanskrit, and it all sounds fantastic. It sounds interesting, but I live in the modern world. Okay. So I would like to apply it. Tell me how I do it. Where do I start? What's the first thing I should do? So that's another one. So you've got all these different possibilities. So let's address timeless wisdom in Sanskrit. So timeless wisdom is wisdom for all time. It's universal. And that means it's always relevant. It doesn't change. It's really first principles of things. And if it's not first principles, then I would venture to say it's not actually real timeless wisdom. So being universal, it's relevant at every moment. For all time, it was relevant in the past, it's relevant now in the present, and it'll be relevant in the future. So timeless wisdom, universal wisdom, first principles are always relevant no matter where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, whatever's going on, it's relevant. Okay, that's timeless wisdom. That's the wisdom I'm interested in, and that's the wisdom that's embodied in Sanskrit. In other traditions as well, but I'm just focusing in on the Sanskrit. So the timeless wisdom in Sanskrit, it's powerful and potent. The wisdom of Sanskrit is also intact and unchanging. And that may not be something that's important to you, but just think about that. It's not a fashion industry. It's not going to be the latest new idea next week or next month or next year. It's relevant for all time. And in fact, I'll tell you something. I've been studying all this stuff since I was young, from the age of 10. My parents were interested in it. Those normal you know, middle class, sort of just ordinary people. But my father in particular was especially interested in this, and like he would go to the office every day with his briefcase and then come home and start reading the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. But he was really wanting to know. He wanted knowledge. He wanted wisdom. And he meditated. So did Mum. And I was interested in it too. I just was. And that was back in the 1970s. Get your head around that, 1970s, right? Now we're in the 2000s, 2020. So it's a long time ago. And stuff people are talking about now, newsflash, I was studying back in 1970. So that's not to blow my own trumpets, just to say this stuff has been around. And, you know, I was lucky in the 1970s because this was the forefront of when things were becoming really readily available. It was pre-internet, pre-being able to do podcasts like this. But it was really becoming readily available back then. And now, of course, you know, Google search, you don't even need all these books that are behind me. You just get on the internet and it's all available. So it's right under our nose, but do we avail ourselves of it? It's available, but do we avail ourselves of it? So anyway, the knowledge and wisdom in Sanskrit is pure and perfectly formed. That's what Sanskritam means, pure and perfectly formed. So don't you think it would be easy, or it'd be easier and the best and the most intelligent to follow something that doesn't keep changing like fashion? You can rely on it, you can trust it absolutely because it's always true. Don't you think that's a good deal? I think that alone entices me to timeless wisdom. And now the next element of that is you have to want it. You have to have the desire for it. You need to want it because you've seen or you've felt the need for it, and that's usually where the desire rises. If you feel a lack or a need, something, you feel distracted, or you find yourself reacting all the time, or you feel unhappy or frustrated or pressured or agitated or angry, somewhere in there you may stop and think, I don't want to be like this, I want to make a change. And in that, then the desire can arise. I need some help, I want to change this. So there is a volitional will for anything to happen in order for change to occur. We have to sort of stop and say, hang on a minute, I want something different. I want to do something different. I want to change this behavior. I don't want to think like this anymore. And also the intent must be for the good. And generally speaking, it is. If we want to make that change, usually inherent in our human nature is this intent for the good. And, of course, as we go along, we start acting on this. Our memory needs strengthening. And I spoke about this in the previous show, but our memory needs strengthening because we will discover just because we've decided something doesn't mean it's easy. You know, if you want to get fit, it doesn't mean, oh, instantly I can run a marathon. No, you've got to actually train and practice. It takes repetition. And it literally replacing one set of habits with another. So the memory needs strengthening, and that's not difficult. Set a timer on your phone, put a post-it note on your computer. I mean, I do that. Sometimes I put a post-it note by the bed so that when I wake up, it's the first thing I remember. All right. And it saves a whole lot of other stuff, just thoughts about the day crowding in first, are just a simple memory. You know, wear a wristband, something. There's plenty of ways, but memory does need to be strengthened. Will needs to be strengthened. Our resolve needs to be strengthened. And that's repetition. It's good company and it's practice. That's simple. So with the strengthening of memory and resolve and further practice, our understanding deepens. So it's quite a natural process. And there's a story about this. This is a traditional story. It's in many traditions, and it's this a man, he wants wisdom, and he goes to a wise man in the village and he says, can you teach me wisdom? You're wise. I want to know wisdom. I realize I, you know, I don't think deeply. I want to know things in greater depth. I want the real knowledge. Can you teach me? And the wise man says, come with me. And he goes out to the river and he starts walking into the water and he beckons the man to come with him, and the young man standing next to him in the water, and the wise man, without any introduction, just gets hold of his neck and puts his head under the water and holds it there. Not recommended. But it's illustrating something, and this story is in all the traditions. He holds his, and the man's gasping for breath, and then he brings his head up. And the man said, what were you doing? And he said, when you want wisdom as much as you wanted that breath, he said, then I'll teach you, because that's when you really, really want it. And that is all, that story is in all the traditions, and it's used to illustrate the need for a strong desire. And that strong desire will be there when we see the need in ourselves, like we really have had enough. But I'll tell you, this is not so remote from us, because our sportsmen and women, the elite sportsmen and women, they demonstrate this, they understand this, they put that work in. They're determined, they have goals they want to achieve, and they put their minds to it, and they strengthen their will, they train, they get up early, they eat the right things, they do all those things, and they work on their mindset. So desire is a success principle for any successful people and people teaching success. Desire is a success principle 101. So we're talking about desiring wisdom volitionally, choosing it rather than having it forced upon you by circumstance. If something unfortunate happens, it stops and questions how we're living our life. Don't wait till those circumstances are forced upon you if they're going to happen. Choose it yourself first, because then you're in control rather than circumstances forcing that choice upon you, because that is a possibility and happens more often than you think. So we're going to take a break now, and then we're going to look into the mailbag, ask me anything, ask me your questions. I've got some great questions coming up next part of the show. And remember, this timeless wisdom, I hope really what I've done today is get you thinking about it. There's no sort of one set answer, but think about it. Timeless wisdom, modern living, living by timeless wisdom, first principles, is really what we're on about. So I'll see you soon for mailbag.
Empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We all carry around fears, insecurities, and other unhelpful feelings. It would be great to be able to just put them down. One day, two Buddhist monks were on a journey. They came to a fast-flowing river and saw a young woman unable to cross because she couldn't swim. The older monk, without hesitation, offered to help her across the water. Hours later, the younger monk couldn't contain himself any longer. We're not supposed to have contact with women, and yet you helped that woman across the river. Why? The older monk replied, I put that young lady down hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? Hi, I'm Sara Main, creator of Conscious Confidence, a Timeless Wisdom, and host of Conscious Confidence Radio. Learn how to put down those things of the past with my Fuse program. Buy my book, Conscious Confidence, today at consciousconfidence.com and get started.
Introducing The Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit The Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Conscious Confidence, A Timeless Wisdom. I'm Sarah Main, and today we've been talking about timeless wisdom, modern living, and the relevance of the wisdom in Sanskrit, and indeed of all real wisdom that takes us back to first principles and bringing that into our life in simple ways and practicing that, because it is transformative. It is connecting us with wisdom that's relevant at all times. And that's the point about timeless wisdom. It's universal. It doesn't change. So you don't have to get the sort of latest thinking on something. It gives you a grounding that you can just, and a foundation that you can move around your life with and live your life and give full expression to your potential. And if you happen to be a person of faith, for example, wisdom, real wisdom that's universal, can enrich and enhance your faith and enrich and enhance your tradition and your background. So universal wisdom is relevant all the time, and it's genuinely uplifting in its first principles. It's almost obvious that it seems like it's hardly worth saying, but these are the very things that get forgotten, and they're the very foundations of our lives that if we establish them consciously, are incredibly powerful and transformative for yourself and in a ripple effect for everyone, those of your family and your loved ones, and then all who with whom you walk and you meet. And it enhances and enriches your community and society. So, excuse me. So, mailbag time. Now, I've got a question here, and this is from Jessica. And the question is, I struggle with self-confidence. How can Sanskrit help me? Yeah, good question. How can Sanskrit, of all things, help you with confidence? Well, there's lots of people talking about confidence. And going back to what Sanskrit indicates about confidence, Sanskrit actually, I found 12 words for confidence, because it talks about different aspects of confidence. The thing with confidence is, number one, you need to come back to yourself, and that can be done straight away. Come back to a sense of yourself within. And Sanskrit indicates some elements that you can practice. You need, and if you look in on my website and in my book, I talk about this. There's four core elements to it. It's focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing. You need to be able to actually focus your attention. So if you want to be confident, you need to decide that you want to be confident and get your attention focused. You need to actually practice being focused. You need to learn to give attention. You need to develop your powers of attention. And you think, how is that related to my confidence? Well, when you're feeling unconfident, within, we're all over the place. We feel unsteady, uncertain. We're moving inside ourselves. So we need to actually get some strength and steadiness and focus within. So focusing is number one. And in learning to focus, I can guarantee you it will start developing a strength and a faith and a trust in yourself if you start practicing attention. So that's number one. Uniting is the second one, and that is bringing together any divisions within yourself. So if you have ideas that I'm not good enough and all that sort of thing, replacing those with a sort of sense of wholeness and unity within yourself. So it's, I'm going to talk about this in the book. This is just a thumbnail. So bringing together, uniting, so that you are one rather than all these sort of separate conflicting ideas and energies within yourself, that undermines our confidence and is not a recipe for confidence. So we have focus, unite, then simplify. Now, in uniting, it goes with simplifying. Simplifying is letting go of anything that's unnecessary, that doesn't serve you anymore, all the ideas that don't serve you anymore, like I'm no good, she's better than me, I'm weak, I can't do this. They don't serve you anymore. If you want confidence, they don't serve you anymore. Let them go. Put them in the bin like you would go through your wardrobe and toss out clothes that no longer fit you, you don't like wearing, that are old. Get rid of them, okay? And you have to practice that. You just have to be disciplined and determined. That's why focusing is number one. That's the first part of it. You must learn to focus, because to unite and simplify takes some determination. You can absolutely do it, but you need that ability to focus first. So practice giving attention. Practice not being so distracted. And then energize means the real then culmination of developing confidence is take dynamic action. Actually do the things that you feel uncertain about. Make a plan to get into action. So if you want to get more confident in public speaking, you need to start actually giving speeches. And you can do that in your bedroom into the mirror, and then actually get involved in organizations speaking or doing a podcast like this or something, but actually overcome that fear of speaking in public. The only way to do it is to speak in public. Overcoming a fear of heights, for example, is to go and desensitize yourself and actually act and take dynamic action, creative action, dynamic action, but you need the actual action. So focus, unite, simplify, and energize are the four elements of conscious confidence, where you are confident in yourself, and that confidence is not conditional on outside circumstances being right so that you can feel confident and secure. You're just confident regardless of the circumstances, and that's what conscious confidence is. That's why I called it conscious confidence. It's not conditional confidence, and mostly we're unconscious about confidence. We don't stop and think. We just associate our confidence being conditional on certain circumstances being the right way, the way we like them, the way that we feel confident and secure and comfortable. Whereas you want confidence that you can take anywhere at any time, you know, like the ultimate sort of capsule wardrobe in a little carry-on suitcase for an aeroplane. That you can take anywhere at any time, and it covers everything. That's the sort of confidence you need, and that comes from a grounding in yourself, in what's important in yourself, the values, and also working on your attitude. And it's all in my book, actually, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success. So I hope that helps. And go to my website, consciousconfidence.com, and you'll find more there. And Sanskrit, absolutely. When I started looking into just this concept of confidence and what Sanskrit said about it, it was just like a revelation to me. It was all there, 100%, the whole message. And everything that you hear people talk about, success coaches, sports people, motivational speakers, anyone, personal development trainers, anyone talking about how to develop confidence, they all talk about these elements. And I'll tell you, it's all in Sanskrit. It's all there. It's been there forever, timeless wisdom. This is not new. So, but I've packaged it up in a way, and there's exercises, there's practices, there's starter, intermediate, and advanced level practices. And there's also stories. There's tons of stories. There's contemporary accounts illustrating everything. There's a lot in there, and you can dip into it and find exactly what you need to help you build confidence. And I would suggest you do build that self-confidence. It's totally worth it, because then you can give full expression to the magnificence that you have within you. Okay, second question. I have studied other systems of self-help and personal development. How does Sanskrit relate to them? That is a great question. And that is from Dave. I have studied other systems of self-help and personal development. How does Sanskrit relate to them? That's from Dave. Thanks, Dave. Look, it harks back to a bit of what I was just saying before. The wisdom in Sanskrit is not Sanskrit as such, and Sanskrit is an ancient Indian language. That's where it's known to have come from. But Sanskrit is also called a universal language, the language of the universe. So it's not exclusively those elements. It is this universal wisdom that's within it. And you will find that the wisdom that's in Sanskrit is in all the self-help and personal development. Like I was saying to Jessica's question about confidence, all the success coaches talking about confidence, it's all contained in those Sanskrit words for confidence, all the messages, all the knowledge that you need. How to apply it is a different matter, a different consideration, and that's what I've helped to bring out is the wisdom and then make it practical. So, all right, great, it all sounds great, very interesting, but what do I do? Well, similarly with the self-help and personal development, the Sanskrit, the first principles there, the timeless wisdom is there, and it's in a very potent, concentrated form. And that's the thing I love about Sanskrit is the word Sanskrita means pure and perfectly formed, and that wisdom, that knowledge, that energy is intact and utterly potent and concentrated. So only a little bit of it has a really big impact. And all Sanskrit does is it's really the wisdom behind all the systems of self-help and personal development. In any system you learn, I can guarantee you would find elements of that in it's come from Sanskrit in some form or another, and someone's taken it and built on it, and they just may not have known the Sanskrit. I just happen to know about the Sanskrit. Some people do, some people don't, or some people are concerned that it may put people off. But here, I'm telling you, I think get in touch with the Sanskrit because there's so many levels to it. There's the wisdom, there's the beauty in the sound, there's the very vibration in the language. And I'm not even suggesting learn the language. You can. That's a lifelong pursuit. When I was at uni, my teacher said, a basic Sanskrit course is 10 years, well, you know, undergraduate courses are shorter than that, but to really get a fetch of it, it's 10 years of study. I don't want to put you off. But I've drawn out elements of Sanskrit just to make it relevant for people and make it practical, show you how to apply it because the wisdom is there and it's wonderful. So I hope that helps. If you want to find out more about conscious confidence, go to my website, consciousconfidence.com. You'll find out about my book there and where to get it. And it's available on paperback, ebook and audiobook, and also I've got a blog and I've got magazine articles and all the links are there on the media page, and you can follow me on social media, Facebook and Instagram, Conscious Confidence Sarah Main. And next show we're going to be talking about dignity and respect, and I'll show you and tell you how Sanskrit talks about dignity and respect and what the wisdom in Sanskrit has to say about dignity and respect. So important. So let's finish with a bit of Sanskrit now so you hear the beautiful sounds and vibrations. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad, and it's traditionally recited as a blessing for the relationship of a teacher and student. May we all be protected. May we all be nourished. May we work together with great energy. May our intellect be sharpened. And let there be no anger and animosity amongst us. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Conscious Confidence with Sarah Main. Join us next month on Transformation Talk Radio for more timeless wisdom with Sarah's exciting and innovative approach to living. Discover more joy, freedom, and step into your limitless potential. For more information on Sarah Main and her work, or to listen to past shows, visit sarahmain.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers. and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.